and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Paranormal Field. Radio Network. The Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Chat room is filling up really, really nice. And for those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you. If you're not with us and you're listening from somewhere else, feel free to come on over to para-x.com, click on live chat, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. Have a great time. You'll be able to interact with them and with us and with our guest. Tonight we have a really great guest, and we will get to them in just a second. Tonight we have with us Kat Klocko.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have Barbara Duncan.
Howdy, folks.
And we have Jeffrey Gould.
Oh, hello. Now I know what pottery feels like when it's in a kiln.
Are you trying to say it's hot?
The last few days has been blisteringly hot out here. Ugh. We've been lucky to have a slight breeze now and then, but generally speaking, it's like, you know, you walk outside, well, I don't need to go to a gym to lose 10 pounds.
I wished I could lose about 10 pounds. Oh, wow. Had a great week. Come this next week, I will be heading off to Gettysburg for the weekend. Going to have a great time there, running around, looking at everything and investigating and seeing some old friends and have a great time. We will be doing our show live next week from G's Ice Cream Parlor, so it ought to be really interesting. Since we have our guest has so much, and we're going to be doing some things, I'm going to let Jeff introduce her in just a second. We will be doing some things and we will tell you about those a little bit later. So Jeffrey, why don't you introduce our guest?
Absolutely. Well, our guest tonight is Myrna Lou Goldbaum. She's a palmist for over 60 years with a 90% to 95% accuracy rate. She's documented over 48,000 palms and communicated online with people in over 93 countries. Myrna is the author of several books on palms, won first and second place in national writing contests with Colorado Independent Publishers Association, and named 17 magazine Palmist of the Month at palmreaderonline.com. She's a columnist at Mystic Pop Magazine and ILR Magazine, as well as online at Body, Mind, Spirit, named Chosen Woman of the Year at American Business Women's Association, and is number 33 out of the top 100 at Top Psychics. .com, and has been a guest on numerous radio and TV shows, and now she's getting to the best one of them. Everyone give a big hand to our guest. Welcome, Myrna Lou Goldbaum.
Well, thanks for having me. That was some introduction.
He gets paid
a lot of things, yes.
We're glad that you was able to take time to be with us and come on. So it's going to be really interesting. And I guess what we'll do is a little later on, Myrna is going to do some readings of palms. And if you would, she's not going to do many. So what you can do is, if you would like one, you take a picture. If you're right-handed, you take a picture of your right hand. If you're left-handed, you take a picture of your left hand. And you will send them to her. Email them. With the email, you will put your name on there and your age. It will be sent to... I got it here.
Okay.
It will be sent to HMG at private, private.com.
The little I, not the I you see with.
all of it is lowercase, and it's just private I, and that's just the letter I. And you'll email those to her, and if she gets a chance to do yours, we will let you know. And if she's wanting to actually talk with you, we'll get your phone number, and we'll call you into the show. So, with that, I want to welcome Myrna to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here.
I know it's going to be really good because there's a lot of things that I want to find out about doing all this. How did you get into reading palms?
Well, this is a funny story, but when I was 10, I think I was in about the fourth or fifth grade, and my mother was a nurse at a hospital in Dayton, Ohio. And I showed up after school for a ride home, and she announced that she couldn't leave for 8 hours because the shift after her didn't show up. And she was the charge nurse and had to stay. So I got noisy, and I said, "This smells like sick people here, and I hate hospitals." So she grabbed a book off of the volunteer wagon. They're called the candy stripers, the people that wear the pink and white little aprons.
Right.
She grabbed the book and said, "Sit down here and read this." And she didn't look at the book or the title or anything. And it was a book on palm reading. So I sat and studied that book, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of the verbiage, but I could look at the pictures and the diagrams, and I learned it. Then I went home, and my sister was 6 when I was 10, and I practiced on her, and I didn't know if it was right or not. So then I did the mailman, the milkman, the neighbors, my cousins, everybody I could do, teachers, and I was getting better all the time. And by the time I was 16, I was at 50% right. And so that's pretty good, having never had any formal training in that.
Oh, yeah.
And then by the time I got married when I was 20, I was doing married couples and people that we met where we lived and different things like that. And I was getting better than 50%. And now I'm at 90 to 95. So I think the more you do anything, it's just like piano playing or tap dancing. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And now I'm at the top of the game. I probably can't get any better than 90 to 95. If I was 100%, I'd be God. So we know I'm not that good. But I get pretty much what I need out of it. And to date, I've read 53,376 people.
Now,
wow. Holy smokes.
The information you had was old.
The information you had was old.
Well, you know, your web that off of an old...
I was going to say, your web person, not only to update the number, but to maybe send you some grammar now and then. Had a fun time trying to pull that Yoda grammar into some cohesive way to read it.
Okay. So, anyway, I documented every one of those.
Cool.
I have the person sign in when I do a reading, and I feel their handwriting, and I have certain rigmaroles I go through before I even do a reading. So what I like to do on the air is have everybody hold the phone or hold whatever equipment you're using with your chin and your neck so that you can take both hands and fold them up. So fold your hands in front of you. And then if your left thumb comes up on top, it means you were born left-handed if you're not left-handed today. That's how mine comes up. If your right thumb comes up and you are right-handed, it means you're normal.
Good. I'm
well, I'm still not normal.
So I do that on every single reading, too.
Then, so when you say you fold your hands, you mean like interlock the fingers, like, you know, here's the steeple kind of thing, or
no? Just
no. Well, you just put your hands down on the table and fold them. Yeah, you put them together.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. And you say the thumb that's on the outside is your dominant hand?
Right. The one that's on top.
The one that comes up first on top is what you were born. Who you were? Well, I was born left-handed, but I'm right-handed today. So my mother must have switched me in the crib or somewhere along the line. but I'm really a lefty. That's why I gravitate to left-handed people and why I married three of them.
Wow.
See? So I'm one of you. Or I'm one of Kat's left-handed, I guess.
I'm abnormal.
So that's how I got started in it.
And well, you've been doing this for how many years?
Well, in November it'll be 65.
Wow.
Because I started when I was 10, so now you all know how old I am.
Now, is
I'm an oldie but a goodie.
Is there a modicum of intuition in there, or is it strictly reading by the lines?
Well, first of all, everybody's an intuitive. We all have psychic abilities. It's just you never tap into it if you never think about it. Mm-hmm. But I do the lines, and then the psychic hits with it. So,
oh, nice.
Sometimes I pull stuff out of the air, but if I don't see the lines, I don't have my crutch, you know, the tool that I use. Mm-hmm.
It's similar to tarot reading, too. I think you start off reading tarot, and your intuition kicks in with the cards.
Right, and then the next thing you know, you're telling a little story, or you're doing, the cards tell a story.
Right.
And the hand is actually you, and it's what made an impression on your mind, and it shows up on your hand. So let's say you're a newborn baby, you don't have any experiences yet, and the first boyfriend, you're 13, it's going to show on your hand.
Really?
You were excited, then you were crushed, then you were happy, then you weren't happy. All that shows up on a hand.
Wow. Does it have the names on there too?
No. Well, I could lie and say, oh yeah, I could tell you.
Well, now I noticed one of the things you had on your site, you had listed like questions and stuff that people ask.
People ask me.
Right.
Sometimes
and,
I get the same questions over and over. Yeah.
What is the difference between palm reading and fortune telling?
Well, fortune telling is sort of gypsyish and it's kind of made up and it's kind of like what they do in circuses or, you know, things like that. And what I do is scientific. And so everybody was born with a hand and everybody has lines on the hand when they're a newborn, when they come into this world. And it's how a person interprets, and I've studied how to read them, you know, and I know what to get from them. For instance, everybody has a lifeline or they wouldn't be here. And if a person's born without a line on their wrist, it means that they had trouble at birth and they died early. For instance, a newborn baby, if it's born without a stripe across the wrist, the doctor writes right on the chart, chances of survival, zero.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. Now that's interesting. I did not know that.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. I had to do research for my first book. And when I teach classes, I make everybody buy that book. And it's called May I See Your Hand, because that's what I say to everybody wherever I am. So in that book, I had to do research. And I found out in 1967, in America, every medical school requires their interns and their residents to take at least one day of palmistry.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Because that's how important it is. That's why I said it's scientific. It isn't fortune-telling.
Hmm.
So they can look on a newborn's hand and see if there's a congenital heart problem or if the liver isn't working right or whatever. Looking at the hand.
Don't ask me what that was here.
Yeah, I heard a loud noise too.
Yeah, somebody sent me something.
Some phone notification on somebody's phone.
Yeah, they sent me a notification on here for something.
They're talking to you. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Celestial Avon calling.
Yeah, it's something. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Could be now, something to do with my hand, maybe. I don't know.
Now, I'm curious because I'm reading on it a little bit about people who have the double M on their hand.
Okay, anything double means double good luck.
Really?
And the M stands for three things. And the first thing it stands for is survivor. That's a person who doesn't ever give up, who manages. Even if they go down, they come back, they're bouncy. You know, they bounce back and they survive. Then the second thing it stands for is a lot of money, because M and money. And the third thing is, nobody better try and dupe that person, because they know it, and they would be sorry they ever met them if somebody tried to pull the wool over a person's eyes that has an M.
Hmm.
So I have one.
Really?
And everybody doesn't have it.
No.
You know. I was trying to see if I've got one.
Mine's worth $1.2 million.
Really? Wow.
So I'm looking for it.
I must be worthless.
I haven't looked. I'll have to see if you have an M on there.
I have no idea if I have an M on my hand.
Well, I'm going to look at both your hands right now. Well, Henry doesn't have one.
Yep, I knew it.
Okay, now I'm going to look at Kat. Let's see. Kat has one.
Oh!
Okay.
It's cockeyed and it's sideways, but I see it. Okay, if you look at your hand from the wrist going down,
yeah,
it's in the center of your hand, and you have to hold your hand sideways in order to see it.
Oh.
Do you see it?
Okay, yeah.
It starts on the baby finger side, and it goes up to about the middle of your hand. Then you have a hoopy thing that goes over. Then another up to the point. You see an M in between all the other lines?
Oh, yeah. Wow, I've never noticed that.
Oh,
I like
well,
how it's cockeyed. Just to add extra, just a little
bit
added.
Mine looks like that too. Mine, it's not going to be perfect like ABC, you know, perfect
right.
letter. But you have an M, I see it. So.
Huh.
So it means nobody can dupe you, right?
Oh.
You're pretty smart about knowing when somebody isn't who they say they are.
I like to think I am.
Yeah, okay.
Constantly asking
so it
people
means
from
you get a red pilot. Flag or you get it in your gut and you go, oh, right, that
yeah.
guy says he's a 5-star general. I bet he wasn't even in the service.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's what I mean. And then
yeah.
the money thing, it means either you're coming into money or you're going to be creative and do something where the money comes to you. I can't see how much in your case. I know what mine is because I studied mine.
Mhm. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, as
long as I can
money.
Eat and have a house, I am happy.
Now you're happy.
Okay.
Now, I guess you've already said quite a bit of this, but what are some of the things that a hand can reveal?
Well, I do the five basic lines, and so that's a lifeline, which is, you know, your health and your longevity and who you come from and your gene pool. Then I do the love line and the soulmate symbol, work, reproduction, and the bracelet. So those five lines everybody has. Everybody has some of that. Then there's symbols, and there's probably hundreds of them. And I just look and see what symbols are there, and then I tell the people what I see. But when I do a real reading and a person writes to me, or if I do them in person, I tell them to bring a list of questions. And when we're done, we'll go over the questions if I didn't get everything. And almost everybody tears the list up because I have it all by the time we're done. But I'll just tell you what some of the symbols are. Anytime you have an X anywhere in the hand, it's good luck. And any double lines anywhere is double good. And then a star is a X superimposed on top of another one, so that would be double. Guardian angels are X's on the lifeline. Islands are kind of where you feel trapped or cornered, and everybody has them at different times in their life. A dot means you got stuck in an island and never got out. And that example would be somebody was married 23 years and they weren't happy 20 of them, but they were afraid to like get out because of the security. So they stay, but they're stuck. A teacher's block means you have ability to teach. Doesn't mean in a school district, but it means you have abilities and talents, and you can get your thought across or your words across, and people would get it. ESP is your intuition. Then there's creativity, abilities, talent. The poison line is any allergies a person might have. The mystic cross was the M we were talking about. Then there's the giving lines and stripes and grids and the soulmate pyramid. Reincarnation means past lives, old soul. Then there's focusing, centering, grounding, the big one is lessons learned. We all need to learn stuff. And then new beginnings means you turn it around if you had a bad, if you made a mistake or you did something you shouldn't have done. You can turn it around and start over.
Hmm.
So those are some of the symbols that are on my hand. So I put them in a list that I use with my literature. But there's a whole lot of other ones. You know, there's more.
Which was kind of like one of the questions that I'd had. Like, if you're reading stuff from your hand and it doesn't look like it's good, can you turn stuff around or change it to where it does come out good?
It's called free will. You can always change. So that's what free will is. You just decide, well, this isn't working and I'm not very happy. What can I do about it? And some people are shy or afraid or I don't know what, but they don't make change. Change is what makes the world go around. So if something isn't working, you figure a way to make it work. Try something different. So then you have a new beginning because you're going to start over or start a new way.
Hmm.
So that's why I have a new beginning, and it's what lessons learned means. Let's say you drowned in a past life. You aren't going to drown this time because you learned not to do that again.
Might be too late, too.
No, but I mean, that, let's say that you have fear of water in this lifetime, and you don't know why, but you just can't blow bubbles in the water and try and learn how to swim when you're a kid, and they can't make you learn. You just won't do it. And the reason is, you have a memory bank planted inside you that says, I drowned once and I'm never going to drown again.
Yeah, but doesn't that defeat the person's purpose not learning how to swim?
No, it was just a made-up thing. I just didn't have
to. I tend to try and be humorous and it never really quite worked.
Okay.
Now, I got another question here. Before I give that out, those that are in the chat room or listening from around the world, if you do have questions, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Vegapunk, Jeffrey Gould, or myself. And we will get those questions right over to Myrna. Now, if you're listening from somewhere else other than the chat room, you can still ask a question. You can send your question to theparanormalview@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And what is our other little thing that they can do?
On Twitter, you can reach us at ParaView Radio. And I am monitoring both our email and Twitter feeds at the moment.
All right. So you got plenty of options if you got a question.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Barbara's hand right now. And I don't see an M there either.
Barbara.
Okay. No, I do have one. Bad scan.
Okay. You can say that. I just can't see it.
It's hard to put your hand on a scanner and do this, folks.
Oh, you did it on a scanner? I took mine with the phone.
Yeah, I took a picture of my hand with my phone.
And then emailed it to me, and then emailed it to Myrna.
Yeah, I'm getting them. They're crystal clear. They're beautiful.
Well, I'm glad to know that my phone was an investment. That was good.
But I have to tell Barbara one thing. On the fingers, they're called flanges. In between each of your, you know, the fingers have like creases.
Yeah.
And you have little sections on your fingers. Those are called flanges. We're not looking at the fingerprints. And on the flanges, Barbara has a whole lot of stripes. So can you see your hand, Barbara?
Mm-hmm.
You see the stripes?
Yeah.
Every stripe is a boo-boo you made somewhere along the line you had to fix.
No, I've made a whole bunch of them.
Thanks. It looks like I'm
it isn't the end of the world. You still have room to make more. You haven't used it all up yet.
No. I have plenty of time to make more mistakes.
These are the kind of mistakes like you get your hair cut too short, you hate it, you have to wait for it to grow in.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, or you buy a car and it's a lemon, but you like the color. You forgot to check it out first. And it makes an impression on your mind, see?
Oh, yeah.
So anything that makes an impression is what shows up down there.
Now,
didn't realize the phone had a tracking system like that.
There's so much on a hand, you wouldn't believe. A person can't hide it either. I can get it. So I did two murderers, and both of them, I called them on it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I just said, I see you broke the law. I wasn't going to say what. And they both showed me their ankle bracelet.
Huh.
Oh.
And it was a couple years apart. And it was two different fairs even. But the thing is, one guy played chicken with somebody, if you know what that is, where two cars drive at each other.
Right.
And nobody gave in, and he killed a guy. So he had to go to jail because he was the one who caused the death.
Oh, reckless driving, yeah.
That was horrible. Then the other one, somebody beat a man up, and because the guy never came out of the coma, he had to go to jail.
Wow.
So they were both, I wouldn't say murderers, but they both killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed on the hand that they broke the law.
The other question that I had was, do people read feet like they
do
some
hands? People know how to. I don't know how to. I can't read bumps on the head either. There are people that do that.
I didn't know if they did that just like reading a palm or if...
I have no idea. I never thought about it, but, you know. It's interesting. Maybe somebody knows how to read lines on a foot. I know there's reflexology, but that's not reading the lines.
Now, what's the difference between reading someone's dominant hand and reading the other hand?
Okay.
Does the other hand have a...
One hand, the one that you eat and write with, is who you really are today. Because considering I'm right-handed today, but I came in as a left-handed baby. So I'm really a lefty, but I use my right hand. So I have to read my right hand. The left hand is the wish hand or utopia. And the right hand is what God dealt you. It's what you end up with. It's what you came into this world to do. And it's what where you are now and where you're going. What you have to accomplish or what goals you have to set for yourself or whatever. The hand that's dominant or the hand that you eat with is real, and the other hand is sort of dreamy.
Now, is anybody truly ambidextrous?
Sure, I am. A lot of people are. You have to be, especially if you're born one way and you got switched, that makes you ambidextrous.
Does that change the pattern of the hand?
No. That's the brain. The brain is what makes you ambidextrous. See, we have a left side and a right side of the brain. And one side is methodical, logical, practical, sensible, all that stuff we have to be with the feet on the ground. And the other side is the creative juices and dreaming and all the other things that isn't busy work, is what I call it. And so you have to have it in balance, and a lot of people aren't in balance. They're all in la-la land, and they never do put their feet on the ground, and some people are too down to earth and don't ever have the dreaming side. So you need both, actually.
Most definitely.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Sure.
And the brain isn't shaped like a tennis ball. It's kind of lumpy and bumpy. You know, and it's got big side and a not big side. And the big side would be the methodical side. And the other side, the creative side, shouldn't be bigger. It should be a little bit smaller. Because you spend most of your life going to work and doing the logical things, and then you get to do the dreaming and the creative part once in a while, but not 24/7.
Unless you really are an artist.
Well, then an artist is thinking that all. Well, for instance, I live, breathe, and dream palm reading all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it started out to be an avocation, and it became my vocation. And now I've been retired since 96 from work. And I used to do 70 hours a week. I cut it down to 40. So that's a lot, because right before we moved, I did 14 readings that last week.
Wow.
Normally, I only do 10 a week, and I put people out for the next week. Well, I couldn't do that because we were moving. So I just kept taking them one after another, and that's a lot, because that's only 14 hours with people. But I have the prep time ahead and the prep time after, because I'm documenting each one. See, so I probably put a couple hours into each one instead of the hour that the person's sitting there. Then I have paperwork, and so it just goes on and on. Now I'm getting hands from other people. I got somebody named Tina,
Yeah, Tina would be Miami.
What?
Tina, her name in the chat room's Miami, but that would be Tina.
Yeah, right. She's got Miami Pepper, too.
Right.
It's Tina. I'm going to look at hers real quick. Oh, she's got the best one so far. She's the winner.
Oh, wow.
She had the clearest hand.
Oh,
so she laid it on a piece of paper or something to make it stand right out.
Oh,
and it's really good. So now I got some more. I'm not going to read her right this second. I just double checking. Sherry.
Right.
And I got hers. Let's see what hers looks like. Oh boy, she's complicated. There's a million lines on her hand.
So between, congratulations, Sherry. You get the Oh No Award for tonight.
I didn't say Oh No. I just said she's complicated. It's got a lot of stuff here. But some of it's pretty good.
Oh, good.
Actually, there's 1, 2, 3 good things on it.
Well, that's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Some of them only have one good thing. She's got good stuff, but it's I have to dissect hers one line at a time.
Oh, Lord.
A lot of lines.
Well, I tell you what I think we'll do. I think we'll go ahead and we're going to take a break. Probably about 8 minutes, somewhere around there. Okay. And let everybody go do whatever they got to do and a chance to get something to drink. And we will be back about 8 minutes. Kat gets to take us out.
Yep.
They see you bring us back. And you know what to bring us back after.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I just remember that the lights, the mics are live.
Yes.
Yeah. Mics are live. It's always either thank you or the Adam family. Yeah. Anyway, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and yours truly, Kat Cloco. Tonight, our guest is Master Palmist and Psychic, Myrna Lou Goldbaum, with more to come after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions, big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole, now live Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Today's lesson is on Hick Phonics. Aw, noun, a petroleum-based lubricant. Usage.
I sure hope my brother from Georgia puts all in my pickup truck.
Bammer, noun. The state of West Georgia, capital is Birmingham. Usage.
A tornado just went through Bammer and left $20,000 in improvements.
Barred, verb. Past tense of the infinitive to borrow. Usage.
My brother barred my pickup truck.
Bear, noun. An alcoholic beverage made of barley, hops, and yeast. Usage.
I think I'll have me a bear.
Bobwur, noun. A sharp twisted cable. Usage.
Boy, stay away from that barbwur fence.
Did, adjective. Not alive. Usage.
Jim, he did. Deader than a doornail.
Ear, noun. A colorless, odorless gas, oxygen. Usage.
He can't breathe. Give him some air.
Far, noun, a conflagration. Usage.
If my brother from Georgia don't change all the oil in my pickup truck, that thing's gonna catch fire.
Farn, adjective, not local. Usage.
I couldn't understand a word he said. Must have been from some foreign country.
Fat, noun or verb. One, battle or combat. Two, to engage in battle or combat. Usage.
You youngins keep fatting, or I'm gonna whoop on you.
Gumment. Noun, a bureaucratic institution. Usage.
Them government boys sure are ignorant.
Haze, a contraction. Usage.
Is Bubba smart?
Nah,
Haze ignorant. He ain't think but a minute in his life.
Heidi, noun, greeting.
Heidi!
Hire you. Complete sentence. Remainder of the greeting. Usage.
Heidi, hire you.
Ignorant, adjective. Not smart. See Arkansas native. Usage.
Them Bammer boys sure are ignorant.
Georgia. Noun. A state north of Florida. Capital is Lanner. Usage.
My brother from Georgia barred my pickup truck.
Jew here. Noun and verb contraction. Usage.
Jew here that my brother from Georgia got a job from that Bob War fence company?
Months. Noun, a calendar division. Usage.
My brother from Georgia barred my pickup truck and I ain't heard from him in months.
Wrench, noun, a tool used for tightening bolts. Usage.
I think I left my wrench back in the back of that pickup truck my brother from Georgia barred a few months ago.
Rats, noun, entitled power or privilege. Usage.
We Southerners are willing to fat for our rats.
Retard, verb, to stop working. Usage.
My grandpa retarded at the age of 65.
Seed, verb, past tense of to see. Usage. Seed you. Tar, noun, a rubber wheel. Usage.
Jeep, I hope that brother of mine from Georgia don't get a flat tar in my pickup truck.
Think, verb, ability to cognitively process. Usage.
I think I'll have a bear.
Tire, noun, a tall monument. Usage.
Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I hope sees that Eiffel Tower in Paris sometime.
View, contraction, verb, and pronoun. Usage.
I ain't never stayed in New York City. View.
Hi, I'm Eric Beebe, owner of Postmortem Press, independent press outside the lines. And I'd like to invite you, the paranormal community, to check out our website, www.postmortem-press.com. We are currently looking for nonfiction paranormal books. Tell me about your hauntings. Tell me about haunted locations, experiences that you've had in unusual places, anything in the paranormal. This is an area that we would really like to explore, and maybe what you have to say is something we'd like to share with the world. So you can check us out again at postmortempress.com.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We'd like to thank everybody for coming in tonight with our wonderful guest, Mary Lou Goldbaum. Myrna Lou Goldbaum.
Right.
Almost got you wrong there. Oh, dear. we are talking about palmistry tonight, and it's a fascinating subject. And I'm wondering, are there people that you simply can't read or who put up?
There's only been two I couldn't read out of all those 53,000 that I was talking about.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Why weren't you able to read them?
Well, and both of them said, oh, I've heard that before, because they had enough lines on their hand for 92 of us.
Oh, wow.
It was just too complicated. I usually, if somebody has a light of lines, like one of these people that I just was looking at, I've been making notes while I went on the break. Mm-hmm. And so it was Barbara, I think, that had a lot of lines. No, Sherry had a lot of lines. So what happens is if I dissect it one line at a time and don't see the rest of it, I can read it. Well, those two people had too many. I couldn't. It was like I was drunk and I was dizzy and it was going around and around and around. I couldn't see what I needed to see.
Back east, a very good friend of mine went down to Atlantic City, and they came across a reader and a palmist, and she went in, and they put their money down. The woman looked at my friend's hand for about a minute, and then closed the girl's fist, gave them back their money, and said, "Please leave my shop."
No kidding, that would scare me. That would scare me if somebody
said, there's
nothing where you have to do something like that to somebody.
I don't know, the fortune teller gypsy woman in The Wolfman, when she seen his, she told him to leave.
Oh, I went to a woman who advertised once, and it was funny because I sat down, the wind was picking up, and she looked at my palms and she said, "You don't trust people, do you?" And this big gush of wind came out and knocked her garage door down over her car.
While you were sitting there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That had nothing to do with...
Okay.
Yeah, that was just coincidental. But the thing is, if she said, what did I say to you about you get it in your gut? You get a red flag if something isn't right? Mm-hmm. Sort of the same thing that she said.
Wow.
She said, you don't trust people, and that's what I'm saying, that you know when somebody is a phony or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many people has actually sent you their palms so far?
Sent me today?
Oh. Yeah.
I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
You know what, Henry? I'd like to mention about my new book and give people my website so they can look it up.
We're going to do that, yes.
Okay.
And
so my website is real easy to remember, but my name is real hard. So it's www.myrnalou, and Myrna is spelled MYRNALOU. That's all one word. And then palmistry, palmistry.com. So my website's jam-packed full of stuff, and my newest book is right on the front page, and it's called Cruise to the Other Side, and it's a metaphysical journey, and it is a paranormal book. So it just came out last month, and I'm excited about it. I'm getting ready to do book launches and book signings and lectures.
And you've got quite a few other books too, and we're going to be actually talking some about them.
Okay.
But I think before we actually get into that, because you've got those to read, why don't we let you read, say, Cat?
You want me to do Cat first?
Yeah, okay. Read Cat first.
Okay. So I made some notes when you were on the break, and let's see what I came up with Cat. We know that she has the M. We talked about that, and it's called the Mystic Cross. Everybody doesn't have it, and it stands for three things, and I said that: survivor, money, and don't dupe me. Those three things. She has the soulmate mark, and that's a little pyramid thing that's by the wrist. It's a little V-shaped thing by the wrist, and it either means she has hers or she's supposed to. And a soulmate means you were here before on this planet. You were somebody else. You come back this time to find that person and complete what you didn't get finished in another world. So let's say that you were grandma and grandpa in another lifetime, and you were the male. You were grandpa mm-hmm. that time. Grandma died in the hospital, and you didn't get there in time to say goodbye 100 years ago. Well, this time you're you. You find a guy who you make nice on, and you mm-hmm. go, I'm so glad I met you. And it's grandma and grandpa reconnecting.
Wow.
It isn't, because it's you. But internally, you're carrying a memory bank of those that time. And if you find your soulmate this time, you get to ascend to heaven and never come back and look again, because you did it. So everybody doesn't have the symbol, but you do. I don't have it, but my husband this time does.
Oh.
It just takes one and a couple to have it, and you have a huge one.
Oh.
Yours is about 2 inches long, and they can be anywhere from a quarter of an inch to an inch. So when you have one that's this long, that means it's for sure. So are you with anybody?
Yes, I have a husband.
Okay. So do you think you have your soulmate in your life?
I think so.
You do.
I'm hoping right now.
Well, because you have a 2-inch mark that says yeah. that you, you know, is huge. So that means it was 1,000% sure you were supposed to do it this lifetime.
Okay.
So it says that you've been here before 1, 2, 3, 4, 11 times. So average is 4 to 7. So you came back 11 times till you found him this time. This is your 12th lifetime.
And I'm so
Now you're 1,200 years old.
Wow.
Or you're 1,131 if you want to know the truth. So
yeah.
You have to go up this time when you pass, when you're 120 or whatever it'll be. You just leave. You don't have to come back. Anybody under 50 can live to 120 to 130. Because technology is going to come in your lifetime and things will change.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be able to go a lot longer than people go now.
I'm curious about my work or
okay,
career.
Okay, I'm looking at work, and work would be, you know, everybody has by the thumb, if you turn your hand over, you'll see like a crease. And that thumb mm-hmm. crease is where your work line starts. We don't get to count the crease, but from the crease to the center of your hand is age 10 to 50. So at 10, you're not working, but it shows that you might have done babysitting or part-time jobs or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it showed you knew how to get money when you were young. Then it says your work thing is terrible now. It's just huge. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 marks for work. And that, I thought mine looked bad and yours is terrible too. It just means you're a hard worker and that you give a lot of effort, time, thought, energy to everything you do, and you might be a perfectionist.
Oh yeah, that, yeah.
This is in work we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
So it means that you think things through and you're your own best friend, your own worst enemy, because some of the times you go back and forth in your head about something
mm-hmm.
and that has to do with work. What do you do for work?
I am a comic book illustrator and writer and another paranormal author. So
okay.
I work basically in publishing.
Well, I see that. It says that words are important to you and writing is your main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like a dip in your hand. If you look on your the back side of your hand, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you turn your hand over, you'll see a little place that's kind of like a dimple.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where you are now. That's 31. So it says that's your career path that you're in. But it just keeps on going. Do you see all those stripes there? All those stripes are work that
oh.
you put energy in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4 dimples or darker spots or whatever you want to call them, those
mm-hmm.
little areas. Then you have the striping, which those stripes represent hard work.
Uh-huh.
So when you write a book, it's a singular thing. I know that because I do it too.
Yeah.
And nobody can do it for you or with you. You just have to kill yourself and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you love every word you write. Then you don't. You tear it apart and start over and, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it shows. It shows that you're never really satisfied 100% with self.
Yeah.
And it shows you're lenient with other people but not with you.
Yeah, that would be pretty... Yeah.
This is in work, not in fun stuff or, you know.
Right.
This would be with work. If somebody doesn't toe the line at work, you just let it go. But you make you toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you have a double on your lifeline at the bottom. The lifeline starts on the baby finger side of your hand, and it's about an inch down from your fingers, and it runs across your hand. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have an extra piece. Do you see that extra little stripe right there?
Yes.
Okay, that's double good luck on your health.
Oh, that's good. I always wondered why I had two stripes.
Yeah, nobody else usually has that. That's unusual. So that's okay. Then on ESP, you have under the index finger, if you have the letter X, and I see three of them on you.
Oh.
And those are really good because the average person has none or one, and you have three. I have four. And I'll tell you who the highest you can have is five, and that would be Jeannie Dixon, who told President Kennedy, "Don't go to Texas. I'm a seeress. I could see you're going to get killed." Edgar Cayce had five. So people that are really high evolved and vibrational have five, and you have three, so you're way up there.
Wow.
See that? Yeah. Isn't that good? So that was your hand. That was just my brief thing when I do it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So, Henry, who do you want me to do next?
Why don't you do... do the one that you said was the top notch there that won everything. Do Miami.
Okay, so what's your other name? Oh, Miami Pepper?
Right.
Okay, that's Tina.
That's Tina.
Yeah, Tina.
Okay, I said she had clear lines and she was the winner. She had the best hand because she doesn't have too many lines where it's hard for me to make it out. And so what she has is... she put it on like a white sheet of paper or something so that it would really stand out. So her lifeline shows the IQ at the end. It's like a little fork at the end of the lifeline, and it's good. So it says she can figure things out, people out, places. She can think things through, but she gets people to give her what she needs or wants without them knowing they're working for her. So it means she comes in through the back door, and that's a good thing. Then she has, instead of the soulmate symbol, which is what Cav had, she has a double line running down the middle of her hand. And a double line there represents two people walking to the same drummer's beat. So either she's married or she's going to be with somebody who gets her head and she gets their head, but they let each other be. In other words, nobody lives in anybody's hip pocket and tells them what to do. The other person just does their thing, you do your thing, but you're doing it in tandem together. So you both have your own hobbies, but then you come back together. And so that is very important to have that, especially with an X right in the middle of it, which means good luck. Okay? Then, let's see. She has three rows on the wrist, and the wrist are the bracelets. And each row represents 25 years, and she's showing 50, 75 right now. And I know she isn't that old yet, but she's just right at 50, so the third row is all in ahead of time, which is real good. I get them as I live them, and that's scary. It's better to have them earlier. But it has to do with who your heredity line is, and who she comes from are strong people who never give up, who just go, we will get this if it kills us, and they just try really hard. And she's like that, too. So she comes from the kind of stock that never quits. And so she's got the strong, she's got the strength in her bracelets and in the lifeline. And then on her work thing, it shows not as much as Kat, but it shows that she puts a lot of time and effort and thought into everything, too. But she's not quite as hard on herself. It says she started, she had her first major job in the early 20s, and she's kept whatever she's doing for a long time. Okay?
All right. Very okay. Good.
So that was Kat and Tina. Then we have Barbara.
Yeah, go ahead and do Barbara's, and then we'll do some more questions. And then
I want to talk about my new book too, and right. Tell the your listeners about that. Okay, so Barbara, let's see. Okay, what did I write down about her? It says she has the soulmate symbol, and she has it. Hers is going away from the hand instead of going into it, but it means the same thing. And it's like a little V. I don't know if she can hear me. Barbara, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Do you see by your wrist on your hand itself a little V right about mm-hmm. in the center of your hand?
Yep.
Okay, that little V stands for soulmate.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have yours or if it's coming in, but one in a million people marries their soulmate the first time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it took me. I have it now. Okay, so then it shows you have four past lives, which means you have four chances to get one. So I don't know. Are you married now?
No.
Okay. Are you with anybody?
Nope.
Okay. Then this is one of your four is coming.
Okay.
Because when you have that little V, that means it's predetermined. When you were born, that was there, and it says you have to have it. Eventually you will get it. So what it means is you're not going to the right places or doing the right things right now in order to accidentally on purpose bump into the right energy. So you have to be wherever they are, so because they aren't going to knock on your door and say, can you come out and play?
Hard
so
with internet radio.
Out there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, but you have to be where
you betcha.
Can get it. See it. Then it shows you have a lot of allergies. I don't know if that's true or not, but on
some.
The side of the hand, you have 5 million stripes. You see those little lines? Every one of those is something your system doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to count them just for a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 of them.
Okay.
So that means maybe dust, mildew,
yep.
The sun makes you sneeze. Doesn't matter what it is, you have a lot of them.
Oh, drinking orange juice makes me sneeze.
What does?
Drinking orange juice makes me sneeze.
No kidding. I'm allergic to citrus.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do tomatoes, strawberries, grapefruit, pineapple, any of that.
Wow.
I'm not sneezing. Yeah. I get hives. Okay. It says you're going to the high 90s, so that means you must come from strong people.
Oh, yeah.
And it says your IQ is huge.
I
thought the other one was big, and yours is too. If you look at your lifeline, which is the line that goes across your hand from the baby finger side, you have a giant fork or V at the end of it. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mine is so tiny that you need a magnifying glass to see it practically, and yours is sticking out like a sore thumb. So that's a good thing. So that means that you could have been a straight-A student in school if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you had to be. I mean, you probably held back, but you could have been. Then you had the past lives we talked about. Mm-hmm. And so you're an old soul, but not very old. You're only 400 years old, mm-hmm. where Cat was 1,200. Okay.
Cat's trying to catch up to a certain timeline, I think.
Yeah.
But you're only, okay, average is 4 to 7, so you're so normal. It's boring, but I like it. So you're at 4. Okay. And then it says you have issues or questions about something that's bothering you right now, so I don't know how you're sleeping, but it looks like your sleep is disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I could see right there. What'd you think of that?
Yeah. Very true.
Okay.
Very true.
And then, let's see. I didn't do Sherry. So let me find her. Okay, so Sherry was the one that was all complicated, and so it's because, is Sherry on the line? Well, she's listening. Okay.
She's listening.
Yeah.
All right, because the fact that she has so many lines means she's a very old soul, and I tried to count how many past lives, and I got past 15, and I gave up. But if it's over 20, I yell at a person. So I don't think she's over 20, but it might be 17, 18 times she's been here. So that's why it's complicated, because I have one past life, and mine looks like hardly any lines compared to this. So it means that every time she came back, she was male, female. It changes each time for everybody.
Really?
So if she had to come back next time, she'd be the guy next time, but she's not coming back. She's got the biggest soulmate mark of anybody here. It's wonderful. So if you take a look down by your wrist, Sherry, you have this big thing that a baby finger from the other hand has to be able to fit in it. It's like a little slot. I call it a slot, or it's like a little nubbin thing, and it's right there off of your wrist, and it shows two people who tie the knot, stay together for the rest of their lives, and ascend at about the same time, which means it's somebody around your age, same age. So everybody doesn't get somebody around their age. My husband is 9 years younger than me this time, but that's okay because I'm a cougar. So in your case,
a metaphysical cougar. I like that idea. Yeah.
But actually, I thought he was 25 when I was 53, and it turned out he was 44, and I didn't know it. He thought I was 40. So the best thing is we had one date. I'm waiting for the second one. That was 21 years ago. So he moved in and stayed 3 years. And wow. Then we got married. So, and that happens to be true. So let's see. On Sherry, it says she had love early. It looks like in the 20s. Then it looks like a second love comes in the 50s. So where are you right now? Oh, she's not on the line.
Oh, she's yet. Not on with us talking.
Okay. So the second love comes in the 50s. And it shows she's a caregiver, and we call people who have a certain mark. And I said she had something very interesting. She has three marks on her fork at the end of the lifeline, and most people have a little V there. And she has a fork, and a fork, three of them. And that means Mother Earth. That means her feet are on the ground. She cares about animals, humanity, community, people, all kinds of things. Environment. Some people care about me, 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 and that's all. And she's open to everything and everybody, so that's good. And let's see, what else? So she had the stripes on her fingers that we were talking about before, and there's a lot of boo-boos on her, too. So stripes and grills are important, and nobody here has any grills. And a grill looks like a tic-tac-toe, and that would be somebody who wasn't so truthful, or somebody who's breaking the law, or somebody who's doing bad things, and they know it, but they do it anyway. So nobody has that. And then on her wrist, it shows two stripes that are really clear, which are the 50. Each row is 25. And then she has a half of a row coming in, and that's exactly where she should be. So hers are coming in. She's about 10 or 15 ahead of where the lines are, of where her real age is, which is good. So mine is exactly where I am today. And that's because my relatives weren't your relatives. And her relatives were pretty strong. She comes from people who went the extra mile, and they never thought about quitting ever. So she's got X's all over her hand, which means good luck. But she has something real unusual. She has a guardian angel. One, two. She has three angels sitting on her lifeline. And most people have one or two, and anything over two is called a phenomenon. But because her hand is complicated, she needs them, so that's okay. That's good. And to me, guardian angels are people that you knew in a past life who this time, they passed away this time, but they knew you from another lifetime, and they decide you're their charge, and they hang on, and they just take care of you. Their spirit doesn't leave. They're buried in the ground, or they're cremated, but they hang out with you, and maybe they come to you in your crib, or they go to high school with you, or they get married when you do. They're right there, and they stay with you until you ascend, and when you go up, then they do. So she has three of them. I have one. So I didn't even look for angels on anybody else, but hers are sticking out really big because one she has is fairly new. It's sharper or deeper lines than the rest of them. So maybe somebody died in the last year that was close to her or felt something special for her.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm done with all those, and now I'm going to do Henry. But I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So you told me to do all those people. And I will find where your, there's yours. Okay. So let me look at yours. Okay. Yours says that you have an attitude that's young, you're young at heart. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And it says that you like to laugh and have a good time and pull jokes on people, or, you know, you can laugh at a joke, but if you're at a party and you hear a joke, you laugh with everybody else, which is good, but if you go to repeat it the next day, you can't remember the punchline.
That's true.
That doesn't mean he won't try desperately to tell it.
Yeah, but it shows that he loses it. Okay. Then on the past lives, you're the youngest one here. You only have two. So you're 200 years old plus now.
Really? Oh, you whippersnapper.
Oh.
Well, some of them, Kat was 1,200. So, yeah. So you are younger than her. Then on your lifeline, it shows that your mother may have had a little bit of trouble with you in the beginning with ear, nose, and throat stuff. And I don't know if you had your tonsils out, but you probably should have.
I should have, but didn't.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then it shows your weak spot would be drainage or sinuses or stuff like that.
Right.
And then it shows you might have a backache once in a while.
Yes.
That's it. I can't find anything to complain about. It says you're going to about 91, 92.
All right.
So that's good. Yeah, mine shows 85, so I don't like that. But that doesn't mean how far you're going to go. That's how the relatives or that's the gene pool you come from.
Right.
You could go longer.
Hmm.
And then on the love line, it says you were a late bloomer and that you didn't really go out till you were old enough to drive. Is that true?
Pretty much.
Okay. Then it says you didn't get married, but you had your first love in the 20s.
Yep.
Okay. Then it shows you're not married now, or you are?
I am, right.
Okay. So was it a late-in-life marriage?
No. I got married when I was about 22, 23.
Okay.
My first wife died
after
about 10 years. Yeah.
Okay, so that's why the line is fading out. Okay. Then the second one that you have was been later in life, right?
It was about...
Like 30-something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about 30-something. Mm-hmm.
Or 37 or whatever. Okay, now your soulmate mark is over by the wrist, and you got your soulmate this time.
Oh.
And so if you look, you have the little slot I'm talking about that up there where it's like a little hoopy thing. Can you see it?
Yep.
Okay, take your baby finger from the other hand and see if you can put it in that slot. If it fits in there, that means that's a definite.
Yep.
See, it goes in. Okay, so that means that the person you're with now is your soulmate. Even if your first wife hadn't died, if my first husband didn't pass away, I'd still be there too.
Hmm.
But it's just, you know, that happened. So I was 40, he was 42. So that's your palm. So do you have any questions you want to ask me about your hand?
Nope, it looks okay to me.
Yes, it's pretty good. Well, it says that you're playful, or you know, that you're fun to be with because you like to laugh and, you know.
I try, yeah.
That's better than being a stick-in-the-mud person who's just serious all the time.
Oh, no. I just like to have fun, enjoy life.
Now, one just came in for somebody named Sandy.
Right. That's Moofy in the chat room.
Okay. So I'm looking. I can't read it. It's too, there's all kinds of light and the hand came out blue.
Oh.
So I'm looking. Wait a minute. Maybe I can get something out of there.
Little did we know that Sandy is actually a genie.
Well, is she blue? This is purple and blue.
Smurf.
Very nice and technicolor, but I can't make the lines out. Ask her to send it again and do it again.
All right.
I have a question for you then.
Okay.
Because, you know, I do a lot of cemetery photography, and I can stand there and look over the tombstones, and you can read about history of folks. When you start to do readings on older people and you start to see their whole life and being able to see before and after life.
Is this me or you?
You.
I don't see their whole life. Well, I guess I do,
you,
if you think
you do,
it.
In a way. I mean, you're seeing a lot of... Yeah.
That's true. You're right, because I can see when they were a baby and when they came down the birth canal and where they are today. Yeah, I do see their whole life. Okay,
and
go ahead.
Of, yeah, and kind of where they're headed in a way. Is this what got you started in the metaphysical aspect of it, which is the what do you do now to prepare yourself for an afterlife or the next life?
I don't know what made me turn that way. The first book that I wrote, called May I See Your Hand, I wrote it in 1 hour.
Really?
Since you write books, you know that you can't write a book in an hour. And so that was channeled, and I didn't even know what that word meant back then. Mm-hmm. And that was 1996. And channeled means it came straight from God through my hand. I wrote it longhand, and I'll tell you the story, and you'll get it. The house we lived in was a three-story house. I went down into the palm reading room, which would have been in our basement. And I was sitting there with a clipboard, and I'd fill a sheet up and throw it on the floor and write another sheet and throw it on the floor. And I didn't have the light on. And anybody who knows me knows I'm afraid of the dark, and I always have a light on. But for some reason, I didn't. And I forgot I even did it. But I got so hot from doing that I took my nightgown off and threw it on the floor in a ball. And at that time, we had a 5 and 7-year-old boys in the house. I would never have done that in a million years. But I did it. So I went up to bed. I started writing at 12 o'clock at night because I couldn't sleep. And at 1 o'clock, I went to bed. Well, at 6, the alarm rang. I got up to go to work. And my husband goes, "Oh, my God, you're in the nude. What happened?" And I didn't even realize it. And I never sleep in the nude, so that was funny. Then I went to work. Everything was fine. I come home. I did dinner. I decided to do a load of laundry, and my palm reading room was next to the laundry room in the basement. And I look in there, and there's papers all strewn all over the floor. So I scream to my husband, "Come quick. We've been robbed." So he runs down the steps, and he looks, and he goes, "This is your handwriting." Didn't know I wrote a book.
Huh.
Then we played the game called Concentration. Do you know what that is?
No.
Where you turn everything upside down and you match it. So we were playing Concentration, and he'd say, "I have a thumb." And I'd say, "Nope, I have a baby finger." And we kept doing that back and forth for about 4 hours till we got them all in the right order. Then I had a book. Then I typed it and put it on a computer. And that book was taken by I sent a query letter to 14 publishers, and 4 of them wanted it.
Wow.
Wow.
That's unusual.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, because usually you could send it to 100 and maybe hear from one with some interest. Mm-hmm. But so it came out in 1997, and I'm still doing book signings with it because it's a timeless, you know, that's something that never goes away. Mm-hmm. So that's where that came from.
Well,
then I waited till 2003, and I decided, the women all talk to me about soulmates and love and romance and where's their boyfriend and when are they getting married, and men always talk about money and finance and when they get in the job promotion. So I decided, wait a minute, I should brand myself the soulmate specialist. So I did that, and all of a sudden people came out of the woodwork, wanted to know about soulmates. So I wrote the book called Soulmate Connections, and the first 17 pages tells you how to get one, where to bump into one, what you need to know, things even your mother never told you. And then there's 46 love stories taken from palm reading sessions. The very first one is Irma Bombeck, if you ever heard of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I did her when I was 16, and she was, I think, 23. We both worked at the Dayton Daily News. And so she said, "I heard that you do palm reading in the plant. Everybody's talking about it," because I was reading everybody on my breaks and at lunch and stuff. So she's the first story. Then 2004, I decided, wait a minute, I don't just do love and romance. I also see UFOs, ghosts, all kinds of other stuff, murderers, kidnappers, embezzlers, blackmailing. So I wrote the book called Diary of a Palm Reader, and that's 42 palm reading sessions. Then I waited 10 years, believe it or not, and I just wrote Cruise to the Other Side. And that's the one I'm excited about because it's my first fiction book, and the publisher made the cover, and I'm just going to tell you what the cover is. It's a picture of a cruise ship with a palm holding it with a crystal ball. And the story is a mother and daughter go on a cruise together, and the mother wants to get close with the daughter because they've never had a good relationship. And the daughter's estranged from her husband. She's 32 years old. She goes on the cruise with her mother, and they're sniping at each other. Then they get to St. Thomas, which is one of the Caribbean islands, and they have a big fight in a restaurant. The daughter sends mother back to the ship, and she falls down the atrium steps. The daughter goes to a palm reader on the island, and the palm reader says, go back immediately and fix what you caused, or there's going to be harm come to somebody that you love. So she runs back to the ship, and her mother's in the emergency room or the medical center on board, and she dies. And there's a deathbed scene. And then the mother's put in the morgue in a bag. They zip her up and put her in the bag. And she wakes up and she says, I haven't transitioned yet. I have to contact my daughter and let her know I'm okay, that I'm okay with the fight we had and I'm not mad at her. So she, it goes on and on. But anyway, all kinds of things happen. Then after the mother tries to contact her on the ship, I don't want to give it all away. But a rogue wave shows up. It's 100 feet high, almost takes the ship out. Then they go through the Bermuda Triangle. Somebody says there's a rumor there's ghosts on the ship, but there isn't because it's a brand new ship. Then the mother stops elevators when she's in it, and she does all kinds of things to her. The daughter doesn't get what's going on. So after 3 days of being in the room by herself, not eating and just pacing back and forth, she decides to go swim in the, it's called swim against the current swimming pool on board. And she's swimming as long and hard as she can, lap after lap after lap, and she doesn't realize that the waves are getting choppy. And a big wave slaps against the ship, and it knocks her into the side of the 7-foot part, and she almost drowns. And she keeps coming up and sputtering, and there's nobody around but one lady who's in a sundress taking a sunbath, and it's dinner time, so there's nobody out there. And this woman jumps in with her clothes on to save her, and she says, you almost drowned. And she goes, could you please help me get out? I'm too pooped. I can't climb the ladder. So she helps her get out. They start talking. This woman befriends her, and she's a psychic, and she teaches her all about the metaphysical world, about quantum physics and about the other side and about all kinds of things that she never knew before. So that's part of the story. Then there's other parts too. There's a white bird that figures into it, and it's just a lot of things. Then after she gets off the cruise ship, she goes to her mother's condo. She lived in Denver. The mother lived in Phoenix. So she goes to the condo, and her guardian angel shows up. And he says, I have to tell you something. There's a map hidden somewhere around here. You have to find it. Your mother left a treasure trove of money for you for your future, but you have to discover it yourself. So she hunts and hunts and can't find a map. So the angel tells her, go down to the storage shed. You'll find it. She finds a map, and she can't make heads or tails out of it. So then the angel says, well, you have to do something. I can't help you 100%. You have to do it on your own. So she's cleaning up the kitchen and throwing out stuff and getting things ready for Goodwill, cleaning her mother's condo out, and she hears a radio show called Your Psychic Radio Show, and she gets in the queue, and they put her on, and she asks the guy to help her, and he says, get a crystal ball, put it on the dining room table, and just put the map next to it, and maybe I can tell you what it says. So he tells her it's in Tucson, not Phoenix. Can you go there? And she says, sure, if I have to. Well, that isn't true. That was a bad lead. So then she gets a phone call after the show, and this guy says, I'm the producer of the show. Can I come over to your place and look at the map? And she says, sure. Then the angel tells her, you shouldn't have done that, because what if he's an imposter and he just wants the money for himself? So she goes down to the condo lounge to meet him, and he doesn't look like a producer. He's in torn blue jeans, and he's swarthy looking and dirty looking. And she says, are you Mr. Woods? And he says, yes, give me the map. And she says, well, show me some identification, prove who you are. And he ran out of there. So the angel saved her. Then when she goes to the bookstore to buy the ball, the crystal ball, two homeless men try to get her. And the angel puts up an invisible force field all around her so they can't get to her. And they're hitting and pulling and pushing and punching, but they're hitting a stone wall. They can't touch her. And so at the end, she calls her husband, and he says, I'm coming over there. So he flies on the next plane, and together they put their heads together, and they figure out maybe where the money is. So they go to the storage shed and take every box out, and in the bottom of one of the boxes is a hidden compartment, and there's a treasure trove in there, all right, $1 million.
Wow.
So they open it up, and it's in a cookie tin, and she takes the lid off, and $100 bills fly out all over the place. Isn't that a good story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the term spoiler alert should have probably preceded most of that, but that's just me.
Well, somebody in Hollywood's thinking about making a movie out of it already.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm an actor. I'm in SAG.
The book's only been out a month, not even a month. It's been out 2 weeks. But back in April, I met a guy who, here in Venice, Florida, at a book show that I was in, and he told me, the minute you get that book, you let me know. So I let him know. And he said, there are studios in Hollywood that are looking for books like that. It's unique and it's different, and paranormal's big now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I have copies of it, but it's also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's called Cruise to the Other Side, A Metaphysical Journey.
Well, just so you know, I write reports on each show that we do so that people who go to that page not only be able to listen to the archive podcast, but they'll be able to get links to your website, your Soul Connection website, and all of your Amazon books. I've already just linked to that page.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, and I'm all thrilled because, you know, they're all on Amazon.
Yep.
And two of them are PODs, and actually this one is from A-Buzz Press, and they're in Bradenton, Florida, and it's a POD also. But it's also on ebook, and the Soulmate Connections book is an ebook and a hard copy.
Is that pay on demand?
Two out of four, huh?
I know the OD would probably be on demand. Is that pay on demand or what on demand?
No, ebook, where they just, I don't know how they get it, but they go to Amazon and then they,
so it's,
I guess,
like Kindle.
There's a way that they pay for it and then they're able to give it and they send it.
Oh, they download it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's like
download.
Okay. I've never done it, so I don't know.
I have.
Well, I don't have a Kindle reader or any of that stuff because I'm old.
They have an app. They have a free app on smartphones now.
Yep.
Well, you don't think I have a smartphone, do you? I have the
laptop. I wasn't going to go there to see whether or not you did.
Well, it's because I can't work one of those. So
yes, you can.
I'm doing good on the computer.
I think what we're going to do is take about a 2 or 3 minute break.
Okay.
And we will be back. We will talk some more about your, because I got a question on your Soulmate Connections, and
I got a question from chat too.
On your diary,
okay.
Of a palm reader, okay. We will take a break. Jeff, you're going to take us out. CC will bring us back after. I don't know which one you want to come back with.
Real Person's a Genius.
Okay, we'll do that. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're listening to the Paranormal View on Paranormal-X.com with host Henry Poyser, Pat Coco, Jillian Cat, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's guest, palmist and author Myrna Lou Goldbaum. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after the break.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision, programming for the open mind.
Hi, I'm Eric Beebe, owner of Postmortem Press, independent press outside the lines. And I'd like to invite you, the paranormal community, to check out our website, www.postmortem-press.com. We are currently looking for nonfiction paranormal books. Tell me about your hauntings. Tell me about haunted locations, experiences that you've had in unusual places, anything in the paranormal. This is an area that we would really like to explore, and maybe what you have to say is something we'd like to share with the world. So you can check us out again at postmortempress.com.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear,
I don't give a damn.
Fine!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank everybody for joining us this evening for a really interesting topic tonight. We are talking with Myrna Lou Goldbaum, master palmist and author. Welcome back, Myrna.
Hi, I'm still here.
Yay!
So, Cece, what do we have listeners at tonight?
I'm just looking that up now, Henry.
Now, my other question is, which one was the one that said, I don't give a... on that
what?
Commercial. On the commercial.
Oh, that was the last one we just had.
Right. And somebody said...
Gone with the Wind parody?
Yeah, said, I don't give a damn.
Did you hear Brett Butler from Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, but did you hear somebody say that?
Yeah, I just heard it.
No,
my earphone call.
On the commercial there at the end, while he was talking, when he said, I don't give a... And then you heard a female say that. Didn't hear it?
Well, I wasn't around. I walked away.
No, they said the whole thing. just what they said. You're going to have to listen to it then.
I guess so.
Well, everybody in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, and Puerto Rico can listen in for that.
All right. Woo-hoo. We got listeners tonight from around the world.
So I have a question from our chat room.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a quandary that our listener is having. Her name's Sherry, and she doesn't know which hand to send in to you because she's ambidextrous.
Right, and that's the brain makes you ambidextrous, but mm-hmm. she has to send the one that she eats and writes with.
The problem is she does with both.
No, there's one that's the dominant hand that you use more than the other. When you're ambidextrous, it means you can play tennis and switch from one hand to the other, or you can do sports with both hands or only one hand, but maybe you eat with your other. I read the one that's the most, the one you use the most.
Okay. So if she uses them equally, how could she tell which one is more dominant?
Okay, then she folds her hands up like we were doing in the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And whatever thumb comes up on top, that's the one I probably have to read.
Okay. So if you fold your hands like on a table and interweave your fingers, which thumb pops up?
Just lay one inside the other one and fold them together. And one of your thumbs will be on top.
Well, my left thumb comes on top of mine normally, and the only time I sort of become left-handed is when I'm acting. But normally, if I close my hands, my right thumb is below the left, but I'm dominantly right-handed.
Right, and so am I now. But I'm looking at what you were born. You were born left, you see. So that means you're creative in how your thought processing works, different than other... Okay, righties... Here's what I tell people. A righty-righty who came in as a right and their right thumb comes up on top, they're so normal, it's wonderful. And a person who's a left, who was born left, always been a left, they're wonderful. And a person who's a left, born a left, but now they're a righty like me, like some of the other people that are listening, we have a little harder time because we have two little voices in our head and they're going, na 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 na. And a righty goes, na 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 na. And the lefty goes, na, 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 but we have double. We have two of them.
So essentially our brain's always doing the backhand.
No, a lefty lives in a right-handed world, so they have to adapt. And a righty doesn't have to. They're already there. So
put in the desk with the right-hand desk.
That's right. Even all the way through school, you had more trouble than the rest of us. Well, when my husband builds a computer, somebody opens it up and they see the wiring, they go, oh, Howard did this one. And I go, how do you know that? Well, everything's wired backwards. It's going from right to left instead of left to right because the lefty sees it that way.
Hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just the way you see it. It's what you're
But even when I try, if I try and write with my left hand, it sort of comes out mirror image like Leonardo da Vinci or something.
You can read it?
No, because it's mirror image. It just comes out.
I can't read my left hand when I write with it. I can't make a word out that I can't even read a number if I wrote it with my left hand. So the mirror
really
means
odd.
It's backwards.
Yeah. My brain would be going crazy if I tried that.
I write and draw with my left hand, but I use a keypad and mouse with my right.
Okay.
So I figured out
that... What do you use a fork
left.
With?
Left, yeah.
Then you are a left.
Left.
See, and you just trained yourself to do some things with the right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said I can play tennis with one hand, switch the racket over to the other hand real quick, and play with that hand. So I'm just as strong sports-wise, but I can't do things like reading or writing with that hand. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I can type with both hands really fast without even looking. But I need to look if I want to make sure there's no mistakes. You know, when you're typing, you don't want capitals where they shouldn't be or where you forgot to put them. So then I watch. But some people can only type with one hand or they can only play piano with one hand. They can't use both hands. I don't know why that is. It's like a block. It's a mental thing that they just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just gotten back and I've just gotten back into script writing, and I have been just, you know, short subjects and stuff to experiment, and I ended up starting what could easily be a web series. And when I type, it's like the story writes itself.
And right, just, it gets away from me. Along,
and all of a sudden, a character will make a reference to a character I haven't even thought of. I'm like, well, who the heck is that then?
No kidding. Huh. So in other words, you lose all distractions and you get into it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep,
well, one night I was working on the Cruise book, and I stayed up all night. At 5 o'clock, my husband came in to get his cup of coffee, and he goes, are you still typing? And I was having such a good time, I forgot to go to sleep that whole night. I was in the characters, and I was doing their stuff, and I threw all those chapters away because they weren't right anyway. But at the time, I was having fun writing them.
But now, I got in your book, The Diary of a Palm Reader, you talk about love, hate, relations, murder, kidnapping, UFOs, et cetera. How did you come up with UFOs?
I didn't come up with them. People tell me stories, or when I'm reading
they
their
tell
hands,
you stories. I thought you
see it, and I say, "Oh my God, you had an experience!" And they go, "What are you talking about?" And I'll say, "Do you think you were abducted?" And they'll say, "No," but they talked to me, and I'll see it right on the hand.
Really?
Or I did a guy one time, and I said, "When you were a child, you had a really terrible experience, and it had something to do with the UFO." And he goes, "You're right." And I said, his name was Kevin. He's a friend of mine now, but at that time I didn't know him. And he said, a boyfriend and me were out riding our bikes, and we went to this woods where we weren't supposed to go, and we saw where the grass was all burned in a big round place where something had landed there. And then all of a sudden, these creatures came out of the woods after us, and we ran like mad and hid in somebody's garage, and we left our bikes there, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, what was that? And he said, I know it was a UFO because the thing on the grass was where their craft had landed. And it took off and forgotten a couple of them, left a few of them here.
Wow.
So, and I got that from his hand.
Well, that'd be
so I said,
interesting.
Something raised the skin on the back of your neck when you were 10 years old, or, you know, you were like in fourth grade. And he goes, that's exactly right. I was 10. And I said, you were with somebody else? He goes, yeah, another guy. And I said, and what happened? And they told me the story. But I saw on his hand that it made such an impression on him that he never rode his bike again.
Wow.
How you like that?
Well, that's another good book then somebody can
there's a lot of good stories in there. Mm. There's a thing in there about a guy that was an Elvis impersonator. And I didn't know that. I started looking at his hand, and I said, I see that you're an entertainer. He said, yeah, I work in clubs. So I didn't say, oh, you're a DJ, or you do this or that. I said, so you dress up, and you have your hair in a pompadour? He goes, yeah. And I go, so do you think you're Elvis? He says, yeah. That's what it was. He does Elvis impersonation.
Wow.
And he sings, and he does all the same, you know, a lot of stuff. Then the Soulmate book has some really good stories in it, too. I have the stock for all my books if anybody wants them.
I was wondering, how do you do that? Do you tell people where they can go to meet their soulmate?
Well, if they go to my website, they see the books. But in order to get one, since we moved, my P.O. box doesn't work in Boulder anymore. So now I'm in Florida, and I don't have a P.O. box yet, so they have to contact me, and I'll give them my home address, but I'm not putting it on the internet.
Right.
I would just tell them where to send a check, how much it costs. So just for instance, the one that I teach classes out of, and a person could actually teach themselves from the May I See Your Handbook, it's $19.95 and $4 to mail it. And the Soulmate one is $12.95, which is $13, and $3 to mail it. And the Diary is $11.95 and $3. And the Cruise to the Other Side is $14.95 and $3 for shipping. So I can't change what the post office charges. I mean, you know, you have it has to be on there. But I pay the tax for all of them. So if a person bought it from a store, they're going to get taxed. And instead, I just pay for the taxes for everybody because I want them to have my books.
So when you do the soulmate connections, how does that work? I mean, do you get people connected together?
Somebody will come to me and here's an example, and you'll like this. A man emailed me, and he said, I'm in the service. I'm a Baptist minister, and I'm working in the service, and I know we're not supposed to believe in this, but I do. I need you to read my hand. So he sent it to me, and he sent the check, and I charge $100. So I did the reading. And I said, oh, I see that you're married, but that you had a weekend with somebody that you knew from the past. So he says, yeah, I met somebody on Facebook that I knew in high school, and we got together. And he was in South Carolina, and they met North Carolina. But she was in Massachusetts or somewhere. So anyway, they had the weekend. So I said, I see that you think you're both madly in love. And he said, yes, we are. We're going to both get a divorce, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, don't you have children? He says, yeah, I have 15-year-old twin boys. I said, well, she has twin girls. He says, yeah, they're 15. And they both had twins, which is pretty synchronicity in to begin with. But anyway, so they got a divorce, and I told them not to. I said, wait till the kids go away to college at least. Then they'll be busy with their own life, and it won't hurt them as much. No, no, we have to do it now. So they both got divorced. They got married to each other, and that lasted less than a year.
Wow.
Okay. I told them to wait, and they didn't want to because it was hot and heavy right then, and they thought they had to do it right then. But if they had kept that relationship going for a year, maybe they wouldn't have done that.
Hmm.
See, maybe wow. They wouldn't have got married, or they would have got married and been more mature about it.
Maybe they wouldn't have got a divorce.
That's a soulmate story, because that was his soulmate. But you don't always marry every soulmate. For instance,
True.
If you've been here 12 times, you have 12 soulmates. Cat.
Okay.
And some people have four, and I had one, and I got it in this marriage. So however many times you've been here, that's how many past lives you've had where you could connect with somebody if you're supposed to.
Now, do you do in-person readings, and would you read a couple together?
I do couples all the time, and sometimes I have to hold back because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or make any. I have a lot of crying anyway. I keep Kleenex on the table. And, sometimes the men cry. But when I do a soulmate thing in person, if a man puts his head down on the table and starts crying and calling for his mother, I have to leave the room. I can't take it.
Really?
You know, and they go, Mama, and I go, oh, God.
Oh.
You know, but when it's a couple, the wife will call me up the next day and say, so what didn't you say?
So what
I knew you were holding back.
Wow.
And then I tell them, but I'm not going to say it in front of, you know.
The other one, yeah.
I'm careful how I don't hurt people.
Right.
So when I do couples and it's in person, I had a man, a wife, and his daughter come all the way from Utah to Colorado for readings. I couldn't believe it. They drove that far. And I said, did you come here to have a weekend? Are you going to go antiquing or do anything else? Nope, we just came for you. Now we're going back. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And that's why they go for probably 8 or 10 hours each way. But see, that's somebody wanted it. Now, because I'm in Florida and most of my client base was in Colorado, they're going to have to do remote. And the people who had one once, I know them by heart. I never have to look at a hand a second time.
Right.
Once I do a complete reading on somebody, I have it. And then when I said I document, what I mean was I type them up and I have them in files.
So who's one of the more famous persons that you've read?
Oh, Gerald Ford's pretty famous.
Really?
He used to be our president. Yeah,
I've heard of
him. Sly Stallone.
Really?
Clint Eastwood, Kevin Bacon, Ivana Trump. Yep.
Wow.
So I've done people you've heard of.
Yep.
And then Irma Bombeck was when I was 16. She was famous too.
Yep. I know Irma.
Let's see. Oh, there's more. I can't think of them right now off the top of my head, but I do people from every walk of life. I've done CEOs of companies, police officers, directors of public works. It doesn't matter. People are interested because it's about you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you find that...
What I do isn't the gypsy style. It's real.
Right.
You know, so...
Well, do you find that after you've like been on a show or something like that, that you get more people requested?
That's the whole reason why I do all the shows that I've been on, and I've been on 275 radio shows. Wow. I've been on probably 10 or 12 TV stations, and I do that to promote myself.
Right.
And promote the work and the books and stuff. But I teach classes, and I volunteer a lot of stuff. I give a lot to charity, work at fundraisers for cancer or different things. One time I was doing a fundraiser in a mall, and they set me up with a card table and chairs, and I was sitting there, and I had a line that went all the way down the mall, and people would come and put money in this jar, and I wasn't keeping any of it. It was all for the cancer research thing. And a man put a $100 bill in there, and I said, oh, I think you might have made a mistake. I bet you thought that was a 10. He said, no, that's okay. I want you to have that for cancer research. He sits down. I look in his hand, and I go, uh-oh. He goes, what? I said, well, it looks like you might have embezzled something, and it looks like you went to jail. And he said, I gave that $100,000 back. I already served my time. So I don't know that that was famous or not, but I was famous for saying that, you know, because I got it. And all these people in line quit talking, and everybody, you could hear a pin drop. In a mall, there's a lot of noise, you know, people walking back and forth. All of a sudden, it was dead silence.
I was going to say, is there a hand where you just looked at it and said, no, I don't even want to go there with you?
Oh, plenty of times there. I get men who go, I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in this shit. Mm-hmm. And I say, excuse me. And I say, well, I know it's all made up. Gerald Ford said that. Mm-hmm. That if you don't tell me something that only I know, then I'll know you're a fake. So I made a little prayer to myself that I would be really good. And I told him something, and he had five Secret Service there. And I said, tell the Secret Service to back up. I have a big mouth. They're going to hear this, and you don't want anybody to hear it. So he tells them back up, and they backed up 5 feet. And I said, you better tell them to go across the room. So they don't ever leave a side, but they went across the room. And this was in a ski lodge up in a high up. The only way you could get there was on a, you had to sit on a
chairlift,
one of those tram things to go up where the skiers use them. So they backed way far away, and I told him something, and he jumped up and yelled, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I told him when he was 19, he says, Mary, Betty Ford doesn't even know that. So I got him.
Wow.
So the Secret Service came running back across the room. They thought I heard him or something because he was screaming and jumping up and throwing his arms up in the air. And they thought I heard him. And they said, what did you do to him? And I said, you can ask him. And he says, she got me. She's not a phony. And it was something bad that he did when he was 19.
Wow.
Oh, man. A politician doing something because
he carried it. But he was carrying it on his hand, see. It made an impression on him all those years. He was 67 when that happened, when really? I did that.
Wow.
And he remembered it.
Wow.
Who's the oldest person that you've read for?
The oldest was probably somebody 95, and that was a man who wanted to make a movie of my life. And wow. He was still, you know, being creative and doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, oh, my life's not that interesting. He said, oh, yes, it is. And so he had all this stuff all written up and everything, but then he passed away. But he was 95 when he came up with that idea.
Huh. Wow.
And I met him at a party that I did. I do palm reading parties. Mm-hmm. And this woman had like 20 people there, and he said, I have to be first, I'm the oldest one. And so I said, okay. So I let him be first, then he wanted to be last. So after I did 20 people and I was dead on my butt, he comes back over in his little wheelchair, and he says, you'll have to do me again, I forgot what you told me. So I did him again. Same exact thing, because it didn't change, the hand is the hand, you know.
Sure.
So, and then he says, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. So then
now,
do you have an
age limit where you won't read children? Do you?
No, I've read one-day-old babies, too.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, my own grandchildren, when they were just one day old.
Wow.
I guess it'll tell you a lot about your life that's going to be, or
well, a newborn has a hand about the size of a quarter.
Right.
Pretty little, yeah. And they're pinched up. You know, you have to pull them apart to look at it. But it shows on there if they're going to get married, how many times, if they're going to college. All that's predetermined.
Wow.
And then the baby has experiences, it grows up and more things happen, and then those lines move and change and meander. So my son was 7 weeks early, and I wanted to make sure he was okay. When they brought him to me, I was looking at his fingers and his hand, and the nurse said, "Are you counting fingers and toes?" And I said, "No, I'm looking at his lifeline." And so the next thing I know, I had 24 people in my room, nurses, aides, every delivery kind of people, doctors. Because they heard I was doing the readings, you know, you get real popular when you do things like that.
Wow.
He was a preemie, weighed 6'4 when he was 7 weeks early, but he went down to 5'1, and this month he'll be 52.
Wow.
So that's my baby. So, anyway, I love what I do, and you could see that, you could hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is my passion.
Very interesting, too.
Well, they say write about what you know. And the one thing I know about is people and palmistry and, you know, psychology. So a lot of times I have to help people think because they're not thinking. And they go, "I don't know what to do about my job." Or, "I want a job and I think I should go to Hollywood and become a star." And I go, "Okay, now let's be realistic. Can you sing or dance? No. Can you act? No. Why do you want to go to Hollywood for it? Oh, I thought it'd be exciting." I said, "Yeah, you could go there, but you aren't going to be a star." And then I show them on their hand that it shows they should be taking classes or, you know, learning something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you find that some people really just are that misguided? As far as careers, well, as far as anything goes, really.
Right.
I want this, but why do you want it?
Well, I don't guide them exactly. If they come to me and they have they know what they want to talk about usually. And so I shake a person's hand, like if they're coming to my home, I shake their hand at the front door and I got it. The minute I touch them, I know, uh-oh, we're here because the marriage is going south and we don't know what to do about it. So we'll sit down, I start the reading, do my rigmarole with all the stuff I normally do. And then I say, "And so what's going on at home? Why are you so unhappy?" And they start crying. And then I say, "So crying is good because that means you feel bad about something, but let's find out why and what can you do to make it better." And so I'm actually just trying to guide them into thinking for themselves.
Right.
See? And so when I said free will, it means that they have to, I can't do the work for somebody. I can just show them what's on their hand. So I'll say, "Well, I don't want to tell you there's a divorce here, and I'm not saying there isn't, but it shows two marriages. So either the same person's going to marry you twice after 25 years, or you've got a different one coming." And I say, "Well, I know that I'm not staying 25 years with that son of a gun." So I said, "Well, then that must be the other marriage you're supposed to have." See? Huh. So they know when they walk through the door, but they want me to confirm it, I guess.
Confirm it, yeah. Wow.
So I have fun with it. When I said I only do 10 a week in the house because that's enough.
Right.
Because it kind of pulls me down sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes people are up and then I'm up because they are, you know. So a lot of it isn't up. A lot of it is, you know, major stuff. Sometimes somebody was told they have 6 months to live and they want to know, is that true or not? I'm not going to tell them.
Right.
I'm not the doctor. So I say, "Well, you know, if you want to fight, then you're going to go a lot longer. And if you give up, maybe you're only going to make 6 weeks. So why don't we become a fighter?" You know, and that sort of gives them a little
hope.
Encouragement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But those are major, you know, when somebody comes and they want you to tell them, "Yes, you only have 6 months to live." I would never do that. Just like I don't tell somebody what stock market to play or what horse to bet on. I already know, but I don't tell
I them. Already know.
I get it sometimes. I get it.
Tips.
I tell you which horse is going to win, the odds will go down. And
no, see, it doesn't work for me, or I'd be a millionaire now. You know? But I know what's going down the tubes or what isn't. I can just feel it.
So you just moved to Florida.
Yeah, we moved. Sunday will be a week.
We were on
the road for 4 days because it's 2,000 miles.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Daytona for a while.
Oh, okay.
Before I went into service.
Oh, that's a while ago. Yeah.
And then when I was a real little youngster, we lived for about a year, year and a half in St. Petersburg.
Okay, so that's not too far from here.
Yeah.
We're about an hour south of Tampa.
Yeah.
And St. Petersburg's right next door, so. Right?
So, but no, I don't live down there anymore. Yeah. I'm back home.
Yeah, well, now you're in good old Ohio with the snow and the bad weather and the...
Yeah, well, I've been around enough, so...
Well, my husband retired January 3rd, and we left on January 5th. And we were here all winter, and we bought a house, and he said, if we don't like it, we have our other house. They're both paid off. And he said, well, we have the other one. We'll go back, and we could sell this one. Because this one's already increased 20% since we bought it a year ago.
Wow.
So I said, well, let's just try the winter and see. Well, we loved it. Hmm. So now we're here permanently, and we put our house on the market to sell it there. And so now we have a pod coming with all of our stuff. It isn't here yet.
Well, that's great. Now, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Oh, I loved it, and I told you it would go fast.
It always does.
That was 2 hours, and it felt like 20 minutes.
Well, I want you to give out all your information where they can contact you, get your books, and all the other good stuff. And then we want you to stay on until after we're off, and then we'll thank you.
So let me give the information. So if a person has a pencil and paper, and they could write down my website, and it's www.MyrnaLouPalmistry.com. And I was named for a movie star, Myrna Loy. So it's MyrnaLouPalmistry.com. My email is hmg@private-i, and that's a little letter I, .com. And my phone number is 941-412-4916. And I also have a blog, and it's called www.soulmateconnections.com/blogspot.com. So it's soulmateconnections.com/blogspot.com. And I have tips and stuff on my website, and I have testimonial letters, and I have descriptions of my books and all kinds of stuff. And it's a pretty interesting website. And actually, in 2012, I forgot to tell you this, I won 12th Best Palmist in the World from Google, Bing, and Alexa. They took a poll, and I had 700,000 hits in 1 year.
Wow.
On that website. And I came in number 6 best website in the U.S. for palmistry.
All right. Excellent. So
even though it was 2012, I'm bragging.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
And I didn't even know I was up for it. Uh-oh. I didn't even know about those awards or anything.
Excellent.
So that was fun.
Jeff?
So thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. Been a great
one. And I enjoyed it, and I hope your listeners did.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Jeff? You got about a minute and a half.
I know. You can go to my website at jeffgould.net, GeoffGould.net, and then just add the slash and the 2011PNV.htm. That's my Paranormal View hub page. You can go and listen to this the archive podcast if you missed any of it, and go to the report page where you can get links to each of Myrna's book. And get them there, and links to her website and email and such if you miss those. Or so you can follow me on Twitter at Real Badger, RealBadger, and Facebook, do a search for The Paranormal View. There we are. Click community, not magazine. Feel free to remember to set your notifications for the cool stuff that we post throughout the week. And there you go. Thank you very much.
Kat?
Okay, really quick. I will be at this year's Paracon 2014 in Shelbyville, Indiana. It's October 25th from 5 to 11 p.m. You can find information at the Strand Theater. That's STRAND Theater. They'll have links to how you can purchase tickets. Also, you can see what I've been up to by going to my website, catclogo.com, or my, please like my official fan page, which is facebook.com/catclogo fan page, K-A-T-K-L-O-C-K-O-W fan page.
You realize you mispronounced your own name, right?
Yeah, I know.
And next week, we will be live from Gettysburg. So join us then. Till then, this is Henry Foister,
Jeff Gould,
Barbara Duncan,
and Kat Clogo.
And we will see you next week at the same time. So good night, everybody.
Visit us again if you dare. You've been listening to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. The Para